John has found the quote that I was alluding to earlier. In college football this year, already five FBS coaches have been canned before November. That is the same total in the last 4 years combined. Will it become a growing trend in the sport? You have LSU and USC open. Those both get filled. You know the next domino that is coming? Another major job could be Penn State that is open because James Franklin has gone to the West Coast. And, you know, again, if you heard Trev last night, there's no reason for him to make a bold statement. It was the right move, in my opinion, and the season can play out. But he did say he sees great things for the program. It would be good at the end of the year to explain what he sees that are not win-loss based, that bode well for the structure of what could happen in the 22 season. But as athletic directors make decisions, and it's the biggest decision they have to make, is firing their current football coach, hiring their next football coach, Jeremy Foley has the former, now retired, Florida athletic director who was successful in his hires in Gainesville. Jeremy Foley had this line, quote, "What should be done eventually must be done immediately." It was around Ron Zook when Florida lost to Mississippi State and Jeremy Foley said, "We've got to make a change." And he made that change instead of waiting. And I agree with that. Doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get your guy that you want and you're going to get him before everybody else, because it's difficult to talk to coaches. I mean, they're in the middle of their season. When are you going to get a time to sit down with them? If you think about the Nebraska scenario in courting Scott Frost, that was a little unique. Central Florida goes to play at Temple. Hey, Bill Moose with a tray full of cheesesteaks, ready to talk to Scott Frost. Hey, Matt Davison. I mean, the way it unfolded for Nebraska was unique. But what should be done eventually must be done immediately. There's also the, I'm getting this feeling from athletic directors, is we're not going to let a coach save his job. I'm thinking about making a move. I've seen enough. We got to make a move. I'm not going to allow a coach to go on a run where he wins three games and we all say, we're back next year and we're in the same situation next year. That's why you've got to have a plan. At the end of the year, I think Trev will be in a better spot to, with his head coach, say, this is the plan. This is the plan moving forward for Nebraska football. Now, things, if you win 0 or 1, I think things get uncomfortable around here. I think 5 and 7, you can sell a plan. Might fall on some deaf ears, but at 5 and 7, it's easier to sell than, of course, 3 and 9, 4 and 8. I think at 3 and 9, you're not selling anything. You've closed up shop. The garage sale is closed. You've pulled the garage door down. You've turned off the lights. You've gone inside. When you get something new, you'll open up the garage door again and you'll tell everybody that the sale is on and we've got this plan. But not allowing a coach to save a season, because you are in the, you hop right back on the hamster wheel. What if you're in the same scenario next year? So Jeremy Foley's line, as harsh as it might be, and in-season firings are not for everybody, I think you got to have some cojones to pull that off as an athletic director, or you have to have cause. What should be done eventually must be done immediately. We get a lot of questions into the Equitable Bank inbox about, well, if Scott's back for year number 5, it's got to be a winning season. Does the plan include a more than winning season? Like, if you just want to peak it next year, I don't want to overlook how important the 4 games in 5 weeks are. But I don't know that, like, in 2022, you just say, we got this plan, we're moving forward, I see some things, I want to see with a different quarterback. I see what Michigan did. Made some changes. Got the culture. Having fun. Let's do all that. Does a winning season cut it? I don't think that would be mentioned as a ultimatum, and I don't think that would cut it if you're not able to turn this into a winning season. There's a lot of dynamics that are in play here, but saying nothing right now, I think, is the right play. And just let everything play out, and you'll know your answer. And you'll know what needs to be fixed. That's the other part of where Nebraska in the current and in the future. Does Nebraska coming out of the bye with four games to go and still a chance to become bowl eligible, as difficult as it might be, they haven't told you can't go to a bowl game yet. Have you fixed what ails you? Or done this? What ailed you, we're not even going to worry about. We're just going to worry about where we're good. We're too far down the path this year to fix what ails us. We're not going to spend a lot of time on that. We're going to spend a lot of time on what we do good. I think that's what you'll see over the next month. Some things, and they've addressed high-pressure situations, late-game situations, trying to overcome that demon. But other stuff that you don't do so well, avoid it. Run away from it. Don't even try it. Don't pay a lot of attention to it. Don't work on it. It's too far down the road. Not all of a sudden you're going to wave the magic wand and those things are going to be fixed. But things that you can do well, especially now that your quarterback is healthy, do those and continue to do them until you're completely stopped. And then, future-wise, do you know the fix to what ails you? Is it a person? Is it a player? Is it a mindset? Is it a scheme? You can move forward if you can answer the question of why. Why does this not happen? Why situational awareness late? Why does this happen? If you can answer that question and you know the fix, then that's all part of the plan that you can sell. But boy, it'd be nice to have those scenarios come up in the last four games that you can say, see? That's why I would like Nebraska to be stressed this weekend. I think Nebraska's playing Purdue at the ideal time. Purdue's got some injuries. Nebraska's coming off a bye where probably will be the same team, but will be more focused out of the locker room compared to Minnesota. So I think this game comes at the right time for Nebraska. Do you know what ails you? Why it does, and what's the fix? Sounds pretty simple, doesn't it? Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. But we're going to find out pretty soon. We're going to find out pretty quick. But in the current, I wouldn't worry about what's ailed Nebraska. You're wasting time working on that. Things you're not able to run because it's not being executed, whether it be between the 20s or in the red zone, throw it away. Chuck it for next year. Work on it in the spring. Only take advantage of things that you do well and continue to run them. Repetition. You're not trying to reinvent the wheel in the last part of the season. You're just trying to make sure that wheel is, stays on the vehicle and doesn't fall off and land in the ditch. All right, let's get Joe here before the break. Parker Gabriel's coming up at 1:30. Hello, Joe.
What's up, Gary? How you doing?
Good, Joe.
Couple little points I was sort of just thinking about. Shanley called earlier and was discussing how Mahomes has sort of gotten a little jittery, and the Chiefs don't look that good this year so far. And I think that's part of what has ailed Adrian Martinez. Now, I'm not comparing Adrian to Mahomes, but other than his first year here, I think he's been jittery. I don't think he's felt comfortable in the pocket. I don't think he's felt comfortable with really anything. And a lot of that has to do with, shoddy offensive line play. And some of that is transfers. Some of that's a lot of young guys. Some of that's it's not just one thing. If it was just one thing, we'd fix that one thing. But the other points that I was sort of thinking about, and it's just a couple, you know, sticking points, but Trav hasn't, he's been an athletic director, but not an athletic director with a major college football program. So I think he's been here, what, 3 months, 4 months on the job, if even that. And there's a lot of feeling out, a lot of learning for Trev to do as far as, you know, the ins and outs and et cetera, all the moving parts of a big-time college football program. I like the cojones the guy has. I know he ruffled a lot of feathers when he canceled, you know, or he got rid of the wrestling program, which I myself am still pretty bitter over. But I kind of respect the cojones that, you know, he took to do something. And he's like, hey, you know, deal with it. But we'll see. And by me saying that, I think at very least he's not going to make a decision. We could lose the rest of these four games. I think he's going to feel out a lot of things in the off season and sort of evaluate a lot of things then.
Well, I think whatever changes happen will come quick right after the year. Whether position coaches, players exiting. I think that stuff has to come quick. You can't let that linger. Because if you're not still practicing in December, you've got to wash this season as quickly as possible. And you've got to get the bad out, and you've got to start on 2022 almost immediately.
No, I get the philosophy in that. I'm not for sure I think that's what he's going to do, but I get the philosophy, sort of the in-season firing. Like, if you know you're going to get rid of the guy, why not do it now, you know? So I get that philosophy. One more last thing. I grew up in Western Nebraska, representing the 308 Braves fan from way back. And it's about as heartbreaking being a Braves fan as it is being a Husker fan. Last night's game one was pretty nice, but I'm not holding my breath quite yet, but go Braves.
Joe, thanks for the call. Joe will be calling back tomorrow when Max Fried deals on the Astros and you're up 2-0.
Please?
See, I think Trev believes that he can help the program. What's in it right now? His guidance, stability. He thinks that can help. I think he has an understanding of what ails the program. And maybe has an understanding of what is the fix. Because he wants this to work. Remember, the elimination of sports here at 60th and Dodge was not his decision entirely. To make a move with a football coach or any coach, that's his decision. That's on him. It's not a committee of people. That's his sole decision. But I think he is evaluating, he's observing, he's feeling, he's understanding. Maybe he knows what ails Nebraska because he spent more time in private conversations. But I think he also believes that him in his current position adds stability. And he can be an asset to the program. But what is the plan? And maybe his plan and Scott's plan are the same exact. And finally, you've got that together. And that's great. But there is the bottom line business part of wins and losses. But whatever the plan is, it has to be relayed publicly when the season is over. This is what the plan is. This is why I think there are great things going to happen for this program. I'm using one of Trev's lines. Publicly, and he will, state why you feel that way. Because what he sees, we may not see. And we think we know everything. All right, one more hour to go. The Gary Sharp Show. Quick break, come back. Parker Gabriel is coming up at the bottom of the hour. We'll get his thoughts ahead of Purdue where Purdue, if they can't stop the run and Nebraska's able to run the ball, heck, Nebraska's every game except Oklahoma have run for at least 120 yards, then that bodes pretty well for Nebraska as a 7.5-point favorite against the Boilermakers. Plus, we'll talk a little bit about the offense. Maybe the most important player in the last four games that is not named Adrian Martinez. Is it all going to come back to my guy, Ramir Johnson? I am buying his future for the last four games. 105. It's the Gary Sharp Show on 1620 The Zone.